Hare Krishna. Devotees don't know, at least until they hit 60, they don't know what it's like. Anyway, go ahead.
You said that when you turned 40, Guruji.
Yeah, well, I didn't know either. I didn't know what it was like when you were 60. Yeah. Just...
Okay, devotees have often asked me this, and I'm just, you know, wasn't quite sure how to answer it. But when a devotee has maybe stepped away from the process of Krishna consciousness, given up chanting, and then they come back, yet they find to take up chanting again in a very serious way, in a regulated way, so much more difficult than when they first joined.
Yeah.
And they see that, you know, new devotees who are coming and joining, they seem to find the process easier than those who are coming back to it. So why would that be? Why would it be so difficult to take up the chanting again? And what can they do to improve and assist?
Well, two things come to mind. One is that, you know, when you first come, you have both not just an initial enthusiasm, but... The momentum in the mind of actually doing something, and the conviction of and determination for success, which becomes very weakened with the precedent of stopping chanting. In other words, when that precedent is there for the mind, it's very difficult to overcome. I mean, someone first comes, There's no precedent, and so everything's full of novelty, enthusiasm, and that spiritual strength is there. So that's not there for devotees who come again. And then the other thing is that they didn't just go and stop chanting. Often they went off and they did different sinful activities. And for initiated devotees, that means that they're also carrying the burden of having committed offenses to the holy name, which they don't come with when they come to Krishna consciousness. So they took vows of following principles. When they break those vows, namno bala jasya vipapa buddhi, they're committing sin on the strength of chanting. So they have to be patient, and they can distinguish between the two things, the chanting, the offense, means that it's very difficult to get taste, more taste, and things move very slowly, and precedent for the mind is that it's much more difficult to attract the mind or control the mind. But in either case, the medicine is just to stick it out. To stick it out with the process, and by sticking it out with the process, then ultimately the holy name sort of dominates and reigns supreme. But it will take time. It will take time to overcome the influence of those two things.
Is there anything they can do to speed up that kind of process? Just
good association.
Chanting.
Good association with people who do have good momentum and chant without offense. not being critical in any way, or being sorry for oneself, but just being humble Vaishnavas. Those things certainly give one impetus and assistance to perfect the chanting. And under all conditions, just always keep chanting. But association is very important. Keeping good association. And then it'll come. Because the other benefit that those devotees also have once it does come is that they've also performed a lot of service. So the benefits of that service are also there. And as the effects of past acts wanes, then that also kicks in, and they'll experience the pleasure of chanting. So it will come back.
Brahmasmita, there's a verse which says basically that every living entity has a super soul.
Has a super soul?
Yes.
Has super soul?
Yes. And at the same time, Prabhupada often quotes or explains that everything with a super soul, or everything with the soul, experiences the six processes, the six changes of birth, growth, reproduction, staying, and then withering away, and then ultimately death. So I was just wondering about sort of inanimate objects like tables, for example. Sorry, I think it's every atom has a super soul. I think that's the verse. I think it's 538. I was just wondering, for example, a table.
Just because super soul's there doesn't mean that it's animate.
Yeah. So I was wondering.
At least not animate in the sense of how we perceive something being animate. It's animate because Krishna's present in everything, but it's not animate because that's a living entity. So the table's not a living entity just because the super soul is present in everything. Nothing can exist without Krishna, so Krishna has to be present in everything.
But the super soul being present, does that not automatically mean that Krishna is present? Because the super soul is...
Okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. Everything has to have Krishna in it. That doesn't make it animate. Mm.
So why does the table not undergo...
Because it's not animate.
But it has atoms, and each atom has a super soul.
But super soul doesn't go undergo change. Krishna doesn't undergo change. It's a living entity whose material body undergoes change. Krishna, there's nothing about Krishna that undergoes change, or about the super soul. They're eternal. So, like I say, it's the jiva that makes something undergo change, not the presence of Krishna.
So the presence of the soul, as opposed to the super soul, is really the key ingredient, which...
Yeah, because it's the soul who's temporarily in this world, and the soul that takes on the body, not the super soul that takes on the body. Mm. Super soul's got nothing to do with the body. He's just present in it. It's not his karma. And it's not Krishna's. So Krishna is in everything, and that's why in the higher sense everything is said to be animate, and because everything's in Krishna. But in terms of a relative perception of the world, there's both animate and inanimate things. So the table is inanimate. There's no change. It just you make it, and ultimately it just rots away in due course of time, but not because of the presence of a soul, just because that's the nature of the material world. But still the super soul's there. But animation, that type of animation doesn't come from the super soul, that comes from the presence of the jiva. Now we're going to finish packing and then get ready to go. Hare Krishna.